Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Dobbs interviewing Jesuit Tom Reese of Georgetown University.
Does the church, though, or the Council of Bishops, Father, make any reference to the fact that we bring more than 3 million people a year into the United States legally, that we made more than a million people, U.S. citizens, naturalized more than a million immigrants last year as U.S. citizens, that almost half of them were Hispanic, because you make it sound as if there's some sort of constraint here to do things legally. We had a president running around for 8 years saying things like we need a guest worker program. We have 13 of them in this country. Why the duplicity, why the deceit, why the obfuscation in this debate rather than clarity and transparency, openness and honesty?
Well, I would like to see a program that actually worked. I mean, it can take 20 years for someone to get a visa to rejoin their family. This is just not a system that's working. What we need is a system that actually works, that allows people to get a visa, come here legally, and allows the, you know what, 10 million people who are here already, that have been living here, that have children born in the United States. There are 3.1 million children who were born in the United States of people who are here undocumented. They are American citizens. The government is threatening to take their parents away from them and send them back to the country they lived in. These are children who are American citizens.
You didn't answer a single question I asked, Father, but then again, you're a Jesuit. You can get away with that.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on January 27th, 2013. Last week's broadcast was Connecting the Dots with the Global Jesuits. This week's broadcast is Introducing the Jesuit Foot Soldiers of the New World Order. Why the interest in the Jesuits? Simply, no one else will talk about the historical Jesuits and their influence on world governments. Some talk show hosts realize that the secret to success in building and keeping an audience is to talk about all the puppets in the show and to emphasize the drama unfolding on the stage. But they know that if they reveal that it's only a puppet show and throw open the curtain and show the man behind it pulling the strings, people will lose interest and quit listening. I'm not here for popularity. I'm here to show people that it's just a puppet show and to expose the man behind the curtain. No drama, no suspense, no entertainment. Just a wet blanket over the audience, and to reveal the Jesuit New World Order puppet masters, puppets, and actors. Mystery Babylon Radio will never be popular, nor will it ever have long-term listeners. It will only bear fruit of its own kind, and those fruits will have seed within themselves. When planted, they grow fruit of their own. What could be better, having a large audience and a big following and a big name and reputation and lots of money and no fruit? I'm not long for this world. I want to produce fruit that has seed within itself that will produce their own fruit. I want to leave behind me a whole orchard of fruit-bearing trees. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, Tom, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, good evening, Walt, and good evening to your listeners. Nice to be here.
I want to make a little comment here on our intro, Lou Dobbs' intro. He says, why the duplicity, why the deceit, why the obfuscation in the debate rather than the clarity and transparency, openness and honesty? Would it be a more fitting question if Lou Dobbs would have asked Jesuit Tom Reese, why is it that the Jesuits are filled with duplicity, deceit? Why are the Jesuits filled with
obfuscation
in debate rather than clarity and transparency, openness and honesty in debate? comments, Tom?
Well, that was a very interesting attempt of Lou Dobbs to interview a Jesuit priest. And obviously, Lou Dobbs knows what the Jesuit order is all about. He knows the nature of a Jesuit, which is to equivocate and to rationalize and to hide his true objectives. And duplicity is an obfuscation in debate, just like your question insinuates. Lou Dobbs should have known he would not get a direct answer to his question, and I suggest that he may have known that he would not get a direct answer to his question, and he simply asked the question to demonstrate the duplicity of the Jesuit order. The Jesuits don't want us to know. They don't want the world to know that they have a global objective. That is one of the best-kept secrets in the world. And part of that objective is to get control of the United States of America and then use the United States of America to conquer the rest of the world for a global papal government. And one of the ways that the Jesuit order has gotten control of the country is through immigration. Now, they have many, many ways of getting control of the United States, but one of their primary methods is immigration, and that's why this particular Jesuit priest from Georgetown University, Jesuit Tom Reese, is concerned about immigration to this country. But what is fascinating to me is the brief exchange between Lou Dobbs and the Jesuit priest Tom Reese was the mention of Mexican immigrants, but no reference whatsoever to their religion, which is Roman Catholic, 98% Roman Catholic in Mexico. And what is taking place right before our very eyes is the Catholicization of America under the direction and guidance of the Jesuit order. And this has been historically the case in the United States. I mean, years ago, right after the founding of this nation, it was the influx of Irish Roman Catholics into this country, and they flooded into the big cities and they controlled politics, and obviously now the focus has shifted toward Mexican Roman Catholics. But first and foremost in the consideration of a Jesuit is that the immigrants be Roman Catholic in the attempt to Catholicize the United States. That's never openly discussed in this country, particularly by the Jesuit order. Lou Dobbs, as you'll notice, he referred to this Jesuit priest as Father, and I suggest Lou Dobbs may well be a Catholic and simply wants the Jesuit order to tell the truth about their duplicity and about their interest in the influx of Roman Catholic Mexicans into the country and what a strain it's putting on our economy and what it's doing to the spirituality of the country. And in fact, it is destroying Protestantism. And that's the main goal of the Jesuit order, as we've covered in previous broadcasts. Back to you, Walt.
Well, the reason that I came back and I'm talking the second week about the Jesuits is like it's continually, I realize how they have slipped under the radar and they're so prominent in our society. So I want to go back and review a definition, how do the Jesuits work in our government and the world. Let me borrow the words of President John F. Kennedy in a speech he gave on April 27, 1961. "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations." Could you write a better definition of the Jesuits? Comments, Tom?
No, I couldn't write a better description of the Jesuits other than to include the Counter-Reformation. But fitting in with the subject that we've been talking about so far is Lou Dobbs' interview with Tom Reese, and that is immigration. That fits under the category of political operations, and or rather religious operations. You notice even John F. Kennedy didn't mention religious operations. That would have been too direct. And John F. Kennedy, in all of his discussions, his clandestine discussions about the Jesuit order, he steps away from the religious aspect of this thing because it's too direct. And I'm certain that his concern was that he did not start a religious war in this country, similar to the constant religious wars that ripped England apart between Catholics and Protestants. But Kennedy is clearly describing the Jesuit order here. And make no mistake about it, that was the purpose for this speech. Thank you all.
And another thing I want to bring out here, the people, it's real confusing, is when you understand organized religion, when you understand Romanism, Freemasonry, Zionism, and even our government, the people at the bottom of the rung don't understand what's going on at the top. And in other words, the Jesuits have 28 Jesuit universities and 50 Jesuit high schools throughout the United States. But everybody that goes to one of these universities or high school is not a Jesuit. But they are getting a Jesuit indoctrination. You know, just before, an hour before the broadcast here, I got an email from a friend that does a lot of research. And this is an article. It's up on the, it's a news article. Vatican gives blessing to Obama gun control proposal. Vatican's chief spokesman, the Reverend Federico Lombardi, said Saturday that 47 religious leaders have appealed to members of the U.S. Congress to limit firearms that are making society pay an unacceptable price in terms of massacres and senseless deaths. Considering that America possesses about 300 million firearms, Lombardi said, people cannot fool themselves that it is enough to limit the number and use of guns to impede the future of horrendous massacres. The Vatican, talking about massacres and senseless deaths, this is a comment, my comment. Remember that in the past, the Vatican always uses the government of a country to do its dirty work. And the next topic I'd like to talk about is everybody is, it's really big on your alternative talk shows, is the GMO and Monsanto. I mean, this is a big topic, and they talk for hours upon hours, and they never talk about the Jesuits. Now, why should they talk about the Jesuits? Well, let's have a little history on the founding of Monsanto. Knight of Malta John F. Queeny, the founder of Monsanto. According to the court in Venice, how do you say that, Tom? Venice?
I'm not sure
John,
where.
Well, I pronounced that wrong, but that's right. John, friends.
Are you talking about, according to the Count of Venice.
Venice, yeah, Venice.
John Francis Queeny, founder of Monsanto Company.
Was a Knight of Malta.
Yes.
He was an Irish-American Roman Catholic.
Yes.
From 1859 to 1933, founded Monsanto in 1901 within the Jesuit stronghold of St. Louis, hosting the Black Pope's St. Louis University since 1880. Knight of Malta, John Queeny. This is the same year that J.P. Morgan, Papal Knight of the Order of Saints Maurice and Lazarus, founded U.S. Steel Corporation, and in 1911 would appoint Knight of Malta John A. Farrell as its president. Interesting, Queenie, Morgan, and Farrell were all wicked, Pope-serving white gentles, not a mix, and not a Jew in the mix. Robert P. Shapiro was a Monsanto CEO from 1995 to 2000. The devil's great conspiracy for the world government must always appear to be led by Jews, never by the Pope of Rome, using select Masonic court Jews as their underlings. Once the manufacturer of the now outlawed DDT and Agent Orange during Francis Cardinal Spellman's CIA-directed Vietnam War, the company also developed and now markets bovine growth hormone, further poisoning the food chain here in America. It is most intriguing that Europe, the Pope's revived Holy Roman Empire, deceptively called the European Union, refuses to purchase beef produced in the United States. Upon purchasing G.D. Searle and Company in 1985, Monsanto, via its NutraSweet company, to the manufacture of aspartame, the notorious neurotoxin sold to the public as an artificial sweetener. Aspartame is the artificial sweetener in the soft drink Diet Pepsi. PepsiCo once employed JFK assassin FBI liaison to the Warren Commission and Knight of Malta, Catherine D. Deloach.
That's Cartha D. Deloach.
Cartha
yes.
Deloach.
Cartha. Cartha Deloach. Knight of Malta. First, I think your listeners need to be aware, too, that the Knights of Malta are a sovereign military order in defense of the Pope. That's their whole purpose for existence. And they are controlled by the Jesuit order. So you see, through the Knights of Malta, that the Jesuit order controls all these companies, and particularly Monsanto, which produces all the horrific chemical or medical or even dietary inquisition in this country. And so this is your answer to those who say they just want to talk about all the companies like Monsanto, but they never want to talk about the Jesuit order. Is simply because they don't know that the Jesuits run these organizations.
Right.
So the emphasis should be placed on the Jesuit order and the Roman Catholic Church. You see, it's not enough to talk about the symptoms of the problems in this country. Everybody's engaged in talking about the symptoms. They're talking about vaccinations. They're talking about chemical poisons in our food, chemical poisons in our medical industry, and all these fascinating subjects that draw so much attention and grab such large audiences from the American people, where nary a word is ever said about the Roman Catholic Church or the Jesuit order or the Knights of Malta. They're the ones responsible. It's one thing to know how we're being poisoned. It's quite another to address who it is that's poisoning us, and for what purpose. Go ahead, Walt.
Monsanto also has strong ties to the Walt Disney Company, with financial backing from the Order's Bank of America, founded in Jesuit-ruled San Francisco by Italian-American Roman Catholic Knight of Malta,
Amadeo Giannini in 1904.
That's
so here we have Walt Disney was a Knight of Malta. The Bank of America is controlled by the Knights of Malta, which means that the Jesuit order controls it.
Disney owns ABC Television Network, and its director is Roy Disney, brother of the late Walt Disney, who was inducted into the Knights of St. Gregory during the same ceremony with Fox network owner Rupert Murdoch. ABC and Fox are both controlled by Rome through the Brothers of Knights of the Order of St. Gregory.
Yeah, so many people in the alternative media suggest that the mainstream media is controlled, and that's enough to satisfy them. Wouldn't they rather know who it is that controls the mainstream media, where to put the blame? Who do they suspect is controlling the media? Do they even care? Obviously, they know that the government's lying to us, the press is lying to us, the government's the media's lying to us. We're not getting the true news. And now we know. Now we know it's the Knights of Malta, the Jesuit order through the Knights of Malta that control the mainstream media. The biggest mainstream media conglomerates in this country are Knights of Malta, controlled by the Jesuit order.
Okay, well, because now we're coming forward. In other words, you know, when you start talking history, we can go all the way back to the Council of Trent, which we've done on another broadcast, and people will say to you, well, why do we care about history that's happened 300 years ago or 400 years ago? Well, let's fast forward to 2013 and look who surrounds Obama. Now, this is not to run our president down. In other words, let's look who surrounds him. Obama is surrounded by Roman Catholic, Jesuit-trained, intelligent leaders. If you go to my website on granddesignexposed.com and scroll to the bottom of the page, I have a picture of Obama and six of his intelligence leaders in a circle there, so you can see the picture. But I'm going to describe it to the listeners that don't have the picture. One of them is the director of a national intelligence, James Clapper, and he is his alma mater is St. Mary's University in Texas. Robert, as you go around,
obviously a Roman Catholic institution of higher learning, St. Mary's University.
Right, right.
He's a Roman Catholic. This director of national intelligence, James Clapper.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's a devout Roman Catholic, where do you think his intelligence information goes? It goes to the Vatican. That's where it goes.
Robert, how do you pronounce that last name?
Cardillo. Robert Cardillo.
He's the deputy director and now director of national intelligence for intelligence integration and schooled at Jesuit Georgetown University.
Yes, Jesuit Georgetown University, the most prestigious, most powerful Jesuit college in this country. Okay.
Deputy National Security Advisor Tom Dolan. Dolan attended LaSalle Academy, earned a BA at the Catholic University of America in 1977, and is connected personally to the Biden family. And there was one fellow here, Rodney Snyder, that we couldn't find any bio on him. John Brenner, assistant to the president for Homeland Security and counterterrorism, attended private Catholic schools from his youth. His alma mater is Jesuit Fordham University and is formerly CIA.
Yes.
National.
That's huge. Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism is a Jesuit-trained member of Fordham University, arguably the second, if not the most powerful Jesuit university in this country, and he's a former CIA employee. John Brennan, Roman Catholic. These are the highest people surrounding the President of the United States. Roman Catholics, Jesuit trained, and their first allegiance is to the Pope of Rome, not to President Obama. Their first allegiance, secretly or openly, is to the Vatican. Now you have one more here.
Yes, National Security Advisor General James L. Jones. His alma mater is Jesuit Georgetown University. I'd like to interject here. You know, there's a lot of people, and I realize, and I say this humbly, because I didn't 4 or 5 years ago, I knew no history. I didn't have any history background. Well, why am I bringing this up? Well, we're talking about the Jesuits of 2013. Understand, briefly, prior to 1776, they took Jesuits back to England in chains. When the word that our founders, the people that lived here 200 years prior to 1776, when the word Jesuit was mentioned, it was the same thing as saying Nazi today.
Yeah.
And so what if you understand this little piece of the puzzle, you say, well, why hasn't anybody told me this? Here, prior to 1776, they were considered felons, and today they are completely saturated into our governments, in our schools, in our hospitals, and I'm continuing on my notes. We also discovered that even the Pope Benedict the 16th gave Obama his blessings after his election victory in November. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time that a pope has blessed the president so openly. But first, here's a little Obama history. Now let's get a little history on Obama, just a brief. Now, understand, this is not anti, this is an education. When you do research, it doesn't do any good to throw darts and get into name calling. Let's just look at the facts. Many years ago, Obama's wife to be, Michelle Robertson, a promising associate at the same Chicago Loop law firm, Sidley Austin, became a good friend and mentor to a young paralegal looking for career advice, Mike Stratemus, as did her future husband, Barack H. Obama. Stratemus, who is now 39 and a senior legal counsel to Obama's presidential team, attended a very special school, the Jesuit-run St. Ignatius College Prep, one of Chicago's influential Catholic schools. You may think this is a mere coincidence, but Stratemus is not Mr. Obama's only or even his most important Jesuit confidant. It's around the time while Obama was working as an organizer for the Developing Communities Project of the Calumet Community Religious Conference in Chicago that Mr. Obama developed a long-lasting ties with Catholic Church and her most wily agents, the Jesuits. Obama can't seem to avoid appointing Jesuits to his inner circle of advisors and managers. These Jesuits are all men of
amphibologia. Amphibologia.
Yeah. Double sense, in other words, double sense words, and the most wonderful obstinance, whose sole objective, according to one of their former pupils, is to secure to the highest office of state men who they have poisoned with their maxims. No wonder Edward Burke wrote that the Jesuits are an infectious plague, requiring the precautions of the most severe quarantine. Even Pope Gregory IX had to admit, the Jesuit foxes have various faces, but they all hang together by their tails. No, and let's look at this is some research out of Code Word Babylon by author P.D. Stewart. Obama's Chicago mentor is Gregory Galuzzo. Is that pronounced right?
That's pronounced Galuzzo.
Galuzzo.
Gregory Galuzzo, a former Jesuit priest, and he was the secret brains behind Barack Obama and his upbringing into politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's he was the mentor. He's the one that coached him and got him started. Obama's chief speechwriter, John, how do you say that?
Favreau.
Was a Jesuit trained, and he's been his speechwriter since 2005. And matter of fact, he wrote the speech on President Obama's inaugurational speech, the last one he made. Obama's Obama's senior military and foreign policy advisor is Major General J. Scott Grayson, was Jesuit trained. Obama's deputy communication director,
Dan Pfeiffer,
was Jesuit trained. How many other Jesuit agents Mr. Obama has on his team, we may never know. For as American historian J. Wayne Lawrence writes, they are the Jesuits are not merely priests or about one religious creed. They are merchants and editors and men of any profession having no outward badge by which to be recognized. J. Wayne Lawrence, The Crisis in America, this is some research here. I mean, this is a
citation.
This is a citation from, again, from Code Word Babylon. Note, too, that Obama's Global Poverty Act, passed in 2007, was launched at a conference in San Francisco to lobby for the bill. The conference was held at the University of San Francisco, a Jesuit Catholic institution, 70 miles south of the Order's Bohemian Grove, with a global perspective under the auspices of the Lane Center for Catholic Studies and Social Thought. In all the above, we have clues to this agenda and who backed him. He was trained and mentored by the Jesuits, no doubt connected to the order through the Ford Foundation, for which his atheist white mother worked. The Ford Foundation oversaw the faith mixing, race mixing, culture mixing chameleon foundation for which Barry Davis Obama worked alongside co-founder Jesuit priest Craig Galluso, now an ex-Jesuit. He worked for the Catholic Church for most of his life, and he has even chosen a Jesuit-controlled Roman Catholic, Joe Biden, as his vice president. Do we think all this Catholic connection is mere coincidence? One can draw the conclusion that Obama's relationship with the Jesuits is much more important to his success in this election and even more extensive than many think. Joe Biden lectures at the Jesuit University in Scranton, a major recruiting station for the Black Pope's Central Intelligence Agency. You got a comment on that, Tom?
Well, certainly. The Jesuit order is most interested in controlling the intelligence agencies, not only of the United States, but of the world, and they always pick graduates, or they really like to pick graduates from Jesuit universities to serve in the Pope's Central Intelligence Agency in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Joe Biden and his son, according to an official federal finance document, was paid over $80,000 last year by the Jesuits to lobby for them in the White House. Joe Biden's son was a Jesuit trained at Georgetown University and is paid to lobby for the Jesuit University of Scranton. Joe Biden was also given an honorary degree from the Jesuit University of Scranton and from the Jesuit Order of St. Joseph University in Philadelphia. Also, in this last week, like I said, I've listened to talk shows. I listened to an Australian down under, the Ferdinandum radio in Australia. And, and they were talking for hours and hours and hours, and they weren't mentioning the Jesuits. And one of the fellows was talking about, and then I listened to another broadcast here in the stateside, and they were talking about, it's a three-hour broadcast, and they're talking about all the symptoms for hour upon hour. And the host of the show brought up the book Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley.
Oh, yeah.
Now that set off a little alarm in myself, and I said, yeah. Well, they didn't mention that he was a professor at Georgetown University, and he was a mentor of Bill Clinton.
Well, not only that, he was a Jesuit priest.
I didn't know that.
Carol Quigley was a Jesuit priest. That's right. The author of the book was Carol Quigley, a Jesuit priest.
Yeah, well, and the book is about 1,500 pages, and what I found very interesting, to see if I can sum this up real quick, so I don't have to read the whole paragraph, but I want to start off. It's a long paragraph, but I'm going to start at the. You know how when people write, what their goal for what they're going to say is at the beginning, and their conclusion is at the end. Mm-hmm. What I am saying now, this is a quote from Carol Quigley. What am I in, out of his book on page 1249? What I am saying here is that the disintegration of middle class arose from a failure to transform its outlook to its children. This failure was thus a failure of education, and many seem at first glance to be all the more surprising, since our educational system has been considerably, consciously or unconsciously, organized as a mechanism for indoctrination of the young in middle-class ideology. In fact, rather surprisingly, it would appear that our educational system, unlike those of the continental Europe, has more concern with indoctrination of middle-class outlook than with teaching patriotism and nationalism. Now, I'm going to skip down here to the bottom where I wanted to comment on this here. So I said to myself, when I found the book on the internet, I mean, in a PDF form, and I did a search on the word Jesuits, and it came up one time. Now, this is where the word Jesuit comes up. Now, he's at the end of the paragraph. He says, children of racial, religious, national, and class minorities all pass through the same system and receive the middle-class formative process with, it must be recognized, incomplete success in many cases. This refers to the public schools, but the Roman Catholic school system, especially on its upper levels, was doing the same things. The large number of Catholic men's colleges in the country, especially those operated by the Jesuits, had as their basic, if often unrecognized, aim the desire to transform the sons of the working class and often of immigrant origins into a middle class people in professional occupations, chiefly law, medicine, business, and teaching. And here, dear listener, is I told you, prior to 1776, the Jesuits were considered felons. This is how the Jesuits have fomented the American Revolution, and how they have taken over, and they did it through education. The Jesuits educate, infiltrate, and agitate, and then they dominate. And what we see happening in our country today, we see lots of agitation. And they're dominating certain fields. They dominate the media. They dominate the judicial system. 6 out of the 9 chief justices of the United States are Catholic. How did they do this? They did it through infiltrating, through education. In other words, it isn't what they taught, it's what they left out. So you have to understand that when people go to a college, and please don't take this wrong, people are listening, there's a lot of gifted people that go to college, but when people go to college, they're getting more than just an education. They're getting an indoctrination.
That's right.
Comment, Tom?
That's exactly right. And what is a very valuable component of that education is what they simply leave out of the education.
Yes, yes.
And that is information that was so well known during the time of the Protestant Reformation. And that was that the Pope is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. The papacy is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. But Revelation chapter 17 and 18 are perfectly fulfilled in the Roman Catholic Church and its papacy and the governments over which it controls. And that is simply left out it's even left out in our so-called Protestant churches today. And the purpose of it is to destroy Protestantism, to destroy the truth, because the Pope cannot rule supreme in this world so long as there's a widespread knowledge, a biblical understanding of chapters 17 and 18 of the book of Revelation.
Yep.
And that is what is so sorely lacking in the education, Protestant history. And until you understand that history, history simply seems to be disjointed, incongruent, and hard to make sense of.
Yes.
But when Protestant history is restored in the schools, then we'll understand what all the wars were fought about, what the Revolutionary War was fought about, what our Civil War was fought about, why the current war on terror is being fought, and why our country, our Constitution, is being overthrown.
And also, I want to add here, our founders, when they founded the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and we became a republic, we didn't want to serve a king or the Pope.
That's right.
But see, what's happened in our patriotic community and over this gun issue that's happening right now, we have a lot of honest, sincere Americans that do not know that our founders not only didn't want to serve a king, they did not want to serve the Pope.
That's right.
And so all we have to do to verify what we've said here the last two broadcasts is just look at 2013 and how successful they have become. I mean, not to throw darts, you have to look at just how successful they have been. With that, Tom, could you tell them? Tom currently is reading The Papacy and the Civil Power by R.W. Thompson, and if you want postgraduate history, you'll listen to Tom. You tell them how you can listen to you, Tom?
Yes, my program is called Inquisition Update. That's Inquisition Update, and it's heard on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. That's www.FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time. And it's an hour-long program, heard Monday through Friday, and I get into the history that is missing in our schools to help us make understanding of our Protestant roots and the Jesuit order and how they are overthrowing our Protestant constitutional republic and literally using what was once a Protestant country to militarily conquer the rest of the world for the Pope in the New World Order. It's simply mind-boggling. But I've been doing the show now for 5 years, and it's truth that you won't likely hear anywhere else.
Okay, Tom. With that, I want to thank you again for coming, and we'll see you next week. And if anybody has any questions,
they can. Can't see the future, ain't recalling the past. I'm at the crossroad of life, stuck on the tracks. I can't go forward and I ain't going back. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, they say. You just got to live life day by day. Keep the faith, hold your head high, soar like an eagle and fly. I've been neglecting my family, I lost all my friends. Can't tell you where the day starts, don't know where it ends. I burnt all my bridges and spent my last dime. I've got my life on hold for an indefinite time. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, they say. You just got to live life day by day. Keep the faith, hold your head high, soar like an eagle and fly. I've decided to change this old life around by picking one foot up and put the other one down. I'm following Jesus, I'm making amends. I'm seeking forgiveness from family and friends. Cause he's the light at the end of the tunnel, you see. Give it all to Jesus, he'll set you free. Keep his faith, look to the sky. Soar like an eagle and fly. Yes, he's the light of the world, not just the tunnel, you see. Give it all to Jesus, he'll set you free. Keep his faith, look to the sky. soar like an eagle and fly. Keep his face, look to the sky, soar like an eagle and fly.